I'm going to introduce our guest speaker today. So like I was saying, him and his family, they head up Equippers in Woking. It's a fairly new church plant, and in a similar sort of like size and position to us, they're just seeing God do amazing things. Starting off small, but more and more, people are coming along. People are giving their lives to Jesus. People are getting healed. If you want to hear some crazy stories about healings and that sort of thing, just talk to this guy at the end. Honestly, it is unreal. But it's my great pleasure to introduce a great friend, Davide Durante. Can we give him a clap as he comes to lead us in a word?
Thank you very much. Oh, wow. It's so good to be here. It's really exciting. Just driving in here was a bit nostalgic in some respects because we used to live in London, and we lived there for about 5 years before we moved out to Woking. And it was I just love London in a way, and then in a way I love going back to Woking. You know, it's a bit too busy for me, and I sometimes have to work in the city as well. So just a little bit more information about me. So I'm married, going 10 years this year in September. Woohoo! I've got 3 kids. I currently do about 3 full-time jobs, as you do. And, you know, I have my own businesses, some in property and some other things, and media and bits and pieces. But God has been so good to us. God has been so good. We are going to talk about the Good Shepherd today. We're going to talk about the Good Shepherd. It's not a, you know, I think sometimes people can get a bit bored with Christianity. But Christianity is supposed to be exciting. It's supposed to be full of goodness, full of excitement, full of joy. Come on, I gotta hear back from you guys. If you agree with me, you gotta go, yeah, I agree. Otherwise, it just I'm not sure you're in agreement, you know. There's power in agreement. Come on. That's better, slightly better. So Woking planted about just under a year ago. And we're currently like around about 35 to 45 on a Thursday night. But I tell you what, it is popping. It is hot. And like the Holy Spirit is just doing so many amazing things. You know, religion is dead. But when the Holy Spirit is at work, there is fire. There is joy. There is peace. There is life. And I believe that that's what's happening in this house. There is a fresh fire coming in here. And when that fire hits you, you know, have you ever seen someone on fire? They do strange things. They roll around and they, you know. So sometimes we've got to be a bit more comfortable with a bit of movement from the Holy Spirit, because sometimes we just don't know what he's going to do next, right? So we have to just be aware of him and be available to him. So I love the word responsibility, because it's ultimately, responsibility is responding to God's ability. Yeah. Responsibility is how we carry ourselves and carry ourselves for what God wants to do in this city, in this church. It's like letting him just say, God, I'm available. You know, I love this with join the team. I'm available. Jesus, use me. You know, I believe that, like, for example, the hosting team. So what I tell my team every Thursday night, I say the hosting team, the guys that just welcome people at the door, I say, you are the most powerful team we have in this congregation. The most powerful team. Paul said that you received a gift through the laying on of hands. So my thing is, every time you shake a hand at the door, what are you imparting to that person? You should be imparting a supernatural gift. You should be touching that person, and hope is filling their spirit. Life is touching their body. They're getting a miracle in their body. Where there was just some torment, they're maybe having dreams or bad dreams or nightmares or an issue in their life or in their relationships, and something breaks loose. Come on. That's the hosting team. Hospitality team. You know, the Bible says that Paul laid his apron on people and they started getting healed. Right? So as you touch that piece of food that you're about to, you know, dish out, or the croissants or whatever it might be, just believe that God is touching that food as it goes into that person's body. Man, Holy Spirit is healing on the inside. He's touching you. He's delivering you. He's setting you free. He's bringing a fire into your spirit. Come on. This is what we got to get. We got to get hungry for the Holy Spirit, because religion is dead, but Jesus is alive. And he wants to live inside of us. So we're going to talk about the Good Shepherd, and we're going to turn to A very, 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 very classic passage, but very, very powerful. And it's in Psalm 23, and it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." I'm reading in the NIV here. It might be slightly different up there. That word lack is actually the proper interpretation of that word want. So I lack nothing. He is a God of provision. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And you anoint my head with oil. I love another part of Psalms. David says, fresh oil, fresh oil. Anoint my head with fresh oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Imagine just walking down the street and this goodness is chasing you down. Like we were saying earlier, his grace is chasing me down. Do you know what the difference between mercy and grace is? Mercy is you're driving in your car, you're speeding, and you see some lights in the background, and they're chasing you down, and they pull you over, and they say, and the police cop gets out, and he knocks on your window, you roll down the window, and then most people won't even know what this is these days. And they go, they push the button, the window comes down, and the police guy says to you, you know what? You were 10 miles over the speed limit. Unfortunately, you're due a fine, but fortunate for you today, I'm going to let you go. Just don't do it again. That's mercy. Don't do it again. Second scenario, grace. You're speeding down the road. He pulls you over. A cop gets out. He knocks on the window. And you put the window down. And he says, did you know that you were speeding 10 miles over the speed limit? And you say, yes, I'm so sorry. And he says, okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you £1,000 today. Don't do that again. How many of you know that is wrong? It just feels wrong because his grace gives you what you don't deserve. His grace is giving you what you don't deserve. So when it says his goodness and his mercy, I love it because it's like he's chasing you down. It's like he's almost auto-correcting your failures as you're going. You take a wrong step and he auto-corrects you and he just brings you into alignment. I love this. I love it. I love it. I love it too much. So John chapter 10, verse 10. Talking about the good shepherd. So this chapter is titled The Good Shepherd. And it says, the thief comes only to kill and steal and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father and I lay down my life for the sheep. Come on. We're talking about a good shepherd. Jesus is a good shepherd. He's not going to back away from you when trouble comes. Just leave you isolated. You know, leave you at the mercy of your circumstances. He's a good shepherd. And I love, going back to Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's saying, you shall not want for love, for friendship, for strength, finances, or for relationships. And he won't lack in the area of provision. Hear me out. This is one of those like really delicate subjects, you know, provision, finances. Oh no, it's a health, wealth, gospel. Ah, you know, it's not. Don't worry. Don't freak out on me. But God wants you to be wealthy in the sense that with wealth comes responsibility. So you will always find that God is pro where there is a vision. That's where the word provision comes from. He's pro your vision. So what is your vision? What is your vision for your marriage? What's the vision for your personal life? What is the vision for your business? What is your vision for this church? What is this vision? What is your vision for the team within this church, for hosting, hospitality, or for media, or production? What is your vision? Because God is always pro your vision. And the provision comes as We are just looking at him. So, you know, one of the great ways to do that, just an application for that, where I do it is I'll pray in tongues. I'll pray in a way to feel the Holy Spirit's presence. As soon as I feel his presence, it's like my mind goes clear and it becomes a canvas. And I love what Ephesians 1 verse 18 says, that the Holy Spirit is projecting onto our imagination. And so the Holy Spirit then uses your imagination as a canvas to then start to give you vision for the future. So you can carry, I want you to see yourself every time you pray and you like, God, I don't have a vision for my work. I don't have a vision for, you know, the church. And you just go into his presence. You carry it into his presence. And as your mind goes clear, you give it over to him. You say, Holy Spirit, give me a vision. And what happens is he will start to show you what he's actually deposited in you. Now the vision of Equippers, and what we're building in Woking in particular, is to make disciples, win souls and make disciples. That is the vision of Jesus. He came for that purpose, to seek and save the lost. So if we're going to follow the good shepherd, we have to follow what he's trying to do. And what he's trying to do is to win the lost. So that's got to be part of your vision. Whatever your vision looks like. So I love it. Most people get confused and they say, well, I don't know if I should be a doctor. Well, it doesn't really matter. Become a doctor, then heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse lepers, and bring people to Christ. It's really simple. You know, don't get confused about it. If you want to be a teacher, be a teacher. And then heal the sick, and then raise the dead, cast out demons, and cleanse lepers. Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8. So I want to encourage you not to limit your vision. Don't limit your vision. If you feel, you know, I want to serve God, but I'm not sure because I feel like I should be doing something else. And, well, just do it and then do with the gospel, which is make Jesus famous. Make Jesus famous. So we had an amazing testimony this Thursday. We had a young guy. His name's Jacob. Really, really small guy. Came in and he was not interested at all. He just totally... had that look on his face. It's like, I'm not interested in this, what's going on here. He's kind of stuck in the corner. And then by the end of the night, some lady brought him to me and said, please pray for him. He's really depressed. He'd had some kids had pinned him down and used an aerosol can with a lighter to burn his hand. Can you imagine this little kid traumatized at school by being burnt, his whole hand just being burnt? And so I just began to pray for him and saying, Holy Spirit, would you just touch him right now? Would you just heal that wound that is inside of him? Just heal that trauma. And as I prayed it, he had a vision of Jesus just holding him on the ground when he was being hurt and being wounded. And then I said to him, okay, I want you to say this with me. Jesus, I give my life to you. And he began to give his life to Christ. And from that moment, I laid hands on him. He started to just receive the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues instantly. And I just was like, come on, that deserves a shout of praise. Come on, right? Come on, that's what we're about. We're about his mission, which is to win souls. And as you go about doing what you're doing, you know, I'm in business, but I'm also in church. And it's great. When you're in business, heal the sick, do whatever you need to do, you know, or lead people to Christ. And then also... do it in church. It's supposed to be everywhere we go. It's part of who we are. I love the scripture here in John 15, 16. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you might go bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Can you see that Psalm 23 verse 1, you shall not want. Why? Why will you not want? Because he has appointed you to go bear fruit. Fruit that will last. What is fruit that will last? Fruit that's eternal. And what is fruit that's eternal? It's the souls of people going to heaven. Because nothing material is going to go with us to heaven. Nothing in this natural world will go to heaven. But the only thing we will take with us to heaven are the lives and the souls of those people that have met Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? So he said, that's the eternal fruit he's talking about. I've called you and appointed you to go bear fruit, fruit that will last. And then whatever you ask in my name, I will give it to you. Come on. Come on, I bet you guys are going to get a bit more excited here about this. Come on, come on. He's giving you a blank check. Do you realize that? Do you realize he's giving you a blank check and saying, okay, how big is your vision? I'm ready to sign it off. Come on, come on. We've got to get this in us. How big is your vision? Because I want to pro that vision. I want to pro that vision. How big is the vision? So he says here... in verse 16 of John 10, he says, I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. So again, Jesus just talking about it again in John 10, under that whole passage of being a shepherd, he's saying, come on, there's people out there, we must bring them. We must draw them in. We must call them. And you know what? There's an amazing thing that happens when the Holy Spirit comes on your life, as he gives you that grace to just speak to people. You know, and my wife always asks me, how do you get into that conversation? How is it that you do that? Like, I don't know. How did you arrive at give your life to Jesus? You know, I just don't understand. And the truth is, there's no formula. I have this thing with Jesus. Every day I pray, Jesus, give me souls. Let me win souls. And every week I lead someone to the Lord. And I get the opportunity. This last week was 2 souls this week. So I'm now, my prayer's gone up. I'm like, okay, God, give me 2 people every week. So that's my new prayer. It's 2 people every week. I want to plunder hell and populate heaven. Come on. This is the mission of Jesus. This is the mission of Jesus. We will miss Jesus if we miss the mission. Because when you touch Jesus and you glorify Jesus, Jesus said, when you glorify me, I will draw all men unto myself. So the objective is to bring people to Christ. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. I'm passionate about it. Pray about it. I want to encourage you to pray about it. Make it your daily prayer. Jesus, make me a channel of salvation. Come on. Right, so verse 2, he says, makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. And, you know, sometimes you go through stuff, right? Life just comes at you. Life is life. And there's this stuff that comes into your life. It may be complex relationships or whatever it might be. But Jesus has told us to come to him because his burden is easy and his yoke is light. To follow the shepherd is to follow a light burden. If you're feeling heavy, you need to go back to him because he's going to take that burden off you. And then he's going to put a light burden on you, one that you can run with, one that you can have grace in. And sometimes you just need to take a chill pill, not a gospel. Okay? Sometimes you just need to literally chill. Okay? You need to take some time out, gather your thoughts, gather yourself, because you're just in freak out mode about everything that's going on in life. And sometimes people are ill in our families or something's going wrong, and we need to just chill. And then you hear the Holy Spirit again. I want you to pray for this. I want you to do this. I want you to speak to that person. I want you to. And you start to see vision again. And then you can pray the vision. Come on. Verse 3. He restores my soul and he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And I love this. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is not about your reputation. This is about his reputation. And we need to be okay with the fact that when you follow the good shepherd, he's going to put you in uncomfortable situations. But you got to know that it's not your reputation on the line. And, you know, you have it a lot, especially when you reach out and you pray for healing for people. You always think in your mind, it always goes to, oh, what if it doesn't happen? But what if it's not on your reputation? What if it's on his reputation? Then you wouldn't care. Then you'd be like, oh, it's on him. I've got to be obedient, and he will worry about the results. So I'll give you an example. I got off at the wrong train platform in London the other day. It was a few months back now. And I got off at the station, and I stood on the train platform, and the Holy Spirit said to me, see that guy with the bag? I want you to pray for him. He's got a leg that's shorter than the other. And I was like, oh, Holy Spirit, are you sure? Like, I want to get on the train and go the right direction. I just want to get on my route. And he's like, yeah, do it now. So I was like, okay, fine. And I go up to this young guy and I say, hey, man, I don't know what's wrong with you, but I just felt like God's saying you've got a leg shorter than the other and I want to pray for you. So he said, yeah, I do. That's so interesting. So I said, hey, come take a seat here on the bench. So he sits down on the bench. And, you know, if you're not familiar with this, I do this a lot. and so I prayed for him and his leg grew out immediately. But what happened was there were 5 people surrounding us at the time. one of which was an African lady from Ghana, and she said, immediately, she said, I've got chest pains, please pray for me. So immediately I jumped and I started praying over her, and she got healed. And then two Indian people that were sitting back to back, because there were two benches back to back, they were like looking around the corner like this, what's going on over here? And then this guy jumps up and he's like hobbling like this around the corner. He's like, pray for my ankle, pray for my ankle. So he ended up praying for his ankle, and his ankle gets healed, and he's like, everybody's so shocked. And I said, okay, come here, everybody, come here quickly. And we said, take hands, take hands. And we all took hands, and I said, say this with me. In the name of Jesus, God, forgive me for my sins. Thank you, Jesus, that you washed away all my sins on the cross. And it was amazing. Five people gave their lives to Jesus Christ on a train platform when I was going the wrong direction, but I was obedient to the Holy Spirit. So you got to take the reputation of Christ. If you're willing to do that, you will just see power flow through you, because it's not about you. It's about him. It's about his righteousness. Because when righteousness of God switches on the power of God. And here's why. When I see someone that's sick, I put my hand on them. I don't go, have I prayed enough? Have I fasted enough? Have I, you know, did I read enough scripture this morning? None of that goes through my head. Because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So when he says he leads me on the path of righteousness, I see it as righteous acts that are displayed all around your life that God wants you just to step in and go, this is on him. This is on him. He took us on the cross. He took this. He took this. And it's about his reputation. And Jesus gets famous through this. So I love it. Verse 4, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, the rod here represents his power to protect. Because the rod is what the sheep would use to hit the wolves or hit those animals that were coming after the sheep. He'd use that rod and beat those animals that were trying to attack his flock. So the rod is representative of his power to protect. And power comes from the Holy Spirit, right? You've not received a spirit of timidity, but you have a spirit of power. You have a spirit of love. You have a spirit of a sound mind. It means that when you have a spirit of a sound mind, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but it means that the Holy Spirit is able to give you insight into things that you do not already know. So Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, ask and I will show you great and unsearchable. Imagine that. To your natural mind, you do not have the ability to access certain amounts of information or certain information. So he says, I will give you that information if you will seek me. So I love that. So part of this is the Holy Spirit giving you power to protect. And he's got the rod, which is the power to protect you, which comes from the Holy Spirit. But the staff, which I don't know if you know, it's always that little hooked thing that they use. They pull the sheep's neck to like kind of correct their direction. So the staff represents his guidance, but I like to think of it, the Bible says, your word is a lamp unto my feet. So the staff to me is representative of the word. And so if you're going to really follow the shepherd, there's two things you need to do. One is you need to walk in the Holy Spirit, which is the rod, and you need the staff, which is his word. The word and the spirit becoming one. The word and the spirit becoming one. When you walk like that, you will walk and you follow the shepherd. You'll hear his voice. He'll guide you. If you're going through a valley, keep going. You prepare a table before me, verse 5, in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I love this. See, the thing is, if you see life, you can see life through different lenses. One is, this is a place to punish me. You know, life is so hard. Everything's attacking my life. The devil hates me, you know, and he attacks me every day, and it's just so terrible. Or you can see it from, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So are you aware of the table, or are you aware of the enemies? And there's something really powerful. Because God, think about it like this. God gave us what Satan always wanted, to be in the image and likeness of God. I will be like the Most High. And then God made us. and he rubbed it in his face. And that's why the devil hates us, right? And so when it says he prepares a table in the presence of enemies, what he's doing is he's putting us on display. Faith is not the absence of fear, but it is in the presence of fear that you can express faith. So if there was no darkness, this might be a bit too, wordy, but if it was no darkness, we would have nothing to project light onto. So it's not the absence of fear, but you will experience fear, and it's what you do in that moment of fear. And you're looking at the table, you're looking at, God, what have you set before me? You have given me victory at this moment. No matter what I feel, because I'm not a feeler, I'm a believer. No matter what I feel, I've got victory. So God anointed Adam. Did you know that? I love this because it says, and you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. We talked a little bit about the anointing. But I want to give you a bit of a revelation that the Holy Spirit gave me. He said to me a while back, I was just looking at the Genesis, and I was reading about Adam. And it says that God made him in his image and likeness, and he said he blessed them. It says, and God blessed them, and said, be fruitful and multiply. But imagine you've just opened your eyes into this world for the first time, and you look around, and you have no idea what anything is or what anything does. The blessing had to come from God in order to empower Adam to understand its function. So when God blessed Adam, he blessed him with the same blessing that he gave Solomon. Here it is. When Solomon asked for wisdom, the word wisdom there means science, consciousness, intelligence, and thought. So he gave Solomon the ability to process life the way that he processes life. And so when God blessed Adam, Adam went, oh, this is a seed, and the purpose of this seed is to be planted, and then it needs to be watered, and then I need to create crop rotation because I've got to think of multiplication. Can you see that? He's never had that thought in his head before. He never knew, but God said, I bless you. So the purpose of fresh oil, the purpose of he anoints my head with oil, is that there are things that you're going through right now in your life that you cannot do in your own ability and strength, but when you come to the shepherd, he touches you with fresh oil. And he gives you fresh insight and understanding and wisdom and revelation, Ephesians 1:17, right? He gives you fresh wisdom and revelation in order to counter whatever it is that's going on in your life, to bring a solution into a certain issue. Write this down if you're right, making notes. God didn't say assist the devil. He said resist him. Come on. And I think, a lot of times we can assist the devil by having faith in him. Faith in the devil is fear. Faith in the devil is fear. So fear is just faith in the opposite kingdom. So let's just shift our minds. As soon as we start experiencing fear, first thing we do is we go to the shepherd. Shepherd, where's the rod and staff? I need you to beat this thing off my back. I need you to take this thing off of me. Okay, so I'm... 23 verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, it's interesting. You should have an image you can put up over there. I don't know if you've ever heard this before. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car, Billy Sunday. And I just really want to encourage you as a church, to make connection your priority. Like make real heartfelt connection a priority. Because similarly, as we can be here physically in this room, but spiritually we're not connected. We're in the same location geographically, but spiritually we're not connected. And how do we get connected? This is the question. Because David connected verse 1, I shall not want. Verse 6, the very last verse, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's always these two things always give you the emphasis of what the body is trying to explain of that passage. And he's saying here, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because in there, in the place of being connected into church, in the place of dwelling in the house, you will find that provision. You will find that supernatural sustenance. And there's three things, there's three ways you can really get connected in church life. The first one is praying. Pray into the vision. I talked a little bit about it earlier. I pray every week for souls to be won because that's his vision. I didn't come up with that idea. It was his vision. And he came up with it, and I believe it, and I'm going to run with it the rest of my life in Jesus' name. The second thing is to serve. Jesus said, if you want to be great, you've got to be a servant of all. And Jesus put a towel around his waist and washed his disciples' feet. You know, we talked a little bit about being part of a team. Don't think of being part of a team as, yeah, but how can serving at a door be special for God? How can that be making an impact? Well, I explained. When you shake that hand, what are you imparting to that person? I impart life to this person today in the name of Jesus. And you say, yeah, but I don't feel powerful. It doesn't matter because we've got a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. We were never guaranteed to feel anything. We were only guaranteed to step out in faith. The righteous live by faith. So put your hand out and shake that hand and release something special over their life. See something good over their life. And then the last thing is giving. So Jesus watched over the offering basket. Did you notice that? He was sitting there. How embarrassing is that? He's like sitting there. Okay. All right. I see. I was like, $50. Is that all? He's like, you're like a property tycoon. Why haven't you got more in there? You know, I'm just kidding. But he did. And he looked at the widow who came with basically nothing and put a couple pence in. And he went, wow, that woman's faith has just blown me away. That woman's faith has just blown me away. Do you know that Jesus looks at how you give? It's amazing. He actually watches us. And one of the key things that I would encourage you with is the Bible says to determine in your heart what you shall give. So in other words, don't just show up at church and then feel guilty and then go, oh, okay, there, and then give some money. Because that's not what he wants. He says what you should determine in your heart, what you shall give before you get there. So when you go to the shepherd, you spend time with him, something starts stirring in your heart. You're like, Lord, I believe in the vision here. Lord, I believe in the leadership here. I honor this house. I bless this house. And from that position, the Holy Spirit says, I want you to give. And then you determine in your heart, you will see a number. Just take that step of faith. Take a step of action. And so my wife and I, we'll pray over our giving before we give. We pray over it. We speak multiplication over it. We bless whoever's going to touch. There was this one guy in South Africa. He was due to get married a week later. And the Holy Spirit said to me, don't use this 20-pound note. Keep it. So I said, okay, put it in my pocket. I really wanted to have the Wacky Wednesday burger special. And I was like, oh, I can't have this burger now. And I've got to put it in my pocket. And anyway, I get to this Connect group. And this guy comes up to me and he says, we're just having a chat or something, and the Holy Spirit says, give it to him now. So I said, okay. I took this $20 out, and I said, hey, man, I just feel God telling me I need to give this to you. And I want to tell you that this is anointed. This is blessed money. And I bless this money, and I declare it will increase over your life, and it will touch everything that you're touching right now. It will be prosper and be blessed in Jesus' name. And at that time, I literally had like no money. So this was it was quite big in and of itself. But I gave him this $20. He came back a week later and he literally, somebody had come up to him and said to him, I want to write off all your debts. Tell me how much you owe. And he literally wrote him a check for $15,000 and just paid the guy's debts. And it all came from one supernatural act of just being listening to the shepherd's voice, being obedient, and it was just $20. But that guy's life was completely transformed. So you are not just natural, you are supernatural. Because you are made in his image and his likeness. And so I hope that encourages you guys today. I just feel like there's a couple of people. So I really felt like this chair, you have the jumper, and you as well sitting next to him. I really felt, yeah, you two. If you could stand for a second, that's okay. I felt the Holy Spirit while I was standing here during worship. you guys came into my mind and I saw you guys in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit said, you two are going to carry a revival anointing on you. So I want to pray for you right now, if that's okay. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I just release that, Lord. I call that word out now in Jesus' name. Right now I call that fire, Lord, your Holy Spirit fire, just to move in his life, Holy Spirit, right now, right now, right now. Everything of the past is in the past. We just draw a line behind it, Lord. And I just declare this man's past will not enter his present or his future. But I just declare right now, your favor, your goodness will chase him down, Lord, in Jesus' name. But I just declare you will also see miracles. You will see healings. You will see signs, wonders, and many great things in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare he's anointing your mind for supernatural inventions. And every idea from heaven is going to start to come upon your life right now. He's going to give you insight into things you do not even have knowledge on right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I just want to bless you as well, my sister. I just thank you, Father, for this amazing woman. Father, I thank you that you have not forgotten her, God. I thank you, Father, that you're pointing her out, Lord, because of the good plan you have for her life, Father. Father, I just thank you right now for your anointing that breaks every yoke, God. It doesn't matter. Whatever has been following you, it leaves you now in Jesus' name. And I just declare that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. I just declare the anointing will be on these hands in the name of Jesus. You will heal the sick. You will heal the sick in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Fresh fire, Lord. Fresh fire, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I wonder if you want to just close your eyes for a moment. If you want a fresh flame in your heart, you want a fresh flame in your heart. Come on, you know, something's going cold. I feel nominal in my Christianity. I just feel like I'm on the fence. I don't feel like I'm giving my heart to Jesus. I'm living at 20% for Jesus. I just believe the Holy Spirit right now is going to put a fire inside of you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, right now. Holy Spirit, right now. Thank you, Lord. I wonder if that's you, just raise your hands up a little bit. Just like you're going to stick your hands right into the anointing right now. If that's you, that's it, that's it. Keep doing it. Go, go, go. Everywhere around this place right now. That fatigue, that sort of, I don't know where I'm going. I feel lost. Just put your hand up right now. If that's you, just lift it, raise it up a little bit. It doesn't have to be all the way in the air, but just get ready. Just get ready. Position yourself right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hands up all over this place. Holy Spirit is coming with a fresh flame right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I ask right now, Holy Spirit, you would sweep across this room. That you would touch, that you would heal, that you would deliver, that you would bring breakthrough, that you will touch our finances, that you will touch our marriages, that you will touch our relationships, Lord. Right now, a fresh joy out of the Holy Spirit is coming upon your life in the name of Jesus. If that's you, take it right now. Let the Holy Spirit just touch you. His anointing is right here, right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Refreshing coming upon your mind. Refreshing just coming right now. Every form of depression leaves. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And with every head bowed, every eye closed right now in this place, we don't want to ever let a service go by where we do not give the opportunity for people to respond to the love and the finished work of Jesus Christ on a cross for us. If you have never come to a place where you've never given your life to Jesus and you're saying today, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ, or you have lost your way and you feel like I'm coming back to Jesus today, I want to give you the opportunity to have a red carpet experience. This is your moment to come to God. I'm going to count to three and I'm going to give you this opportunity. One, you know that you need him. Two, your sins are completely forgiven by him. Three, he's calling you home. Put your hand up. If that's you, I want to give you the opportunity to respond right now. Come on, if you need him, this is your moment right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. So Holy Spirit, right now I pray that you would place a flame in our hearts to win souls for your kingdom, to win souls for your glory. Jesus, we invite you. Come and lead us. Be the good shepherd of our soul. Be the good shepherd of our lives. And lead us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus.
How about we just stay in his presence just a little bit longer? Like Davide was saying, and like we were saying last week, maybe there's something in your life where you feel like it's not quite wholehearted. Where you know that maybe the Holy Spirit is very gently, but very specifically, pointing to a certain area in your life and saying, I want that part as well. I want all of you. Jesus is in this room right now. And if you feel like you haven't got the courage to hand over your entire life to him, to hand over that one thing that maybe you've been clinging on to for so long, that's okay, because it's not about you. It's not about your strength. Just choose consciously in your mind right now to take that bit of your life, that thing, that fear, that doubt. Just picture you just taking it in your hand and just handing it over to God. He can take care of it. It's his reputation, not yours. It's his strength, not yours. It's his courage, not yours. All he's asking is you to just take maybe that one step, that one change of mind, that one faith decision. It doesn't have to be a thunder and lightning moment. It doesn't have to be all dramatic. But maybe right now, just as we come to a close, just take a few seconds. Just say, God, I'm giving you everything. I'm not going to hold back anymore. We just stand to our feet and just start to worship God. He's trustworthy. You can give him everything. You can give him anything and everything.
I'm yours. Your love's too good to leave me.
Just take that one bold step, if that's all you need to take this morning. That one thing, just say, come on, God, I'm in.
If you want my heart, I won't second guess. Cause I need your love more than anything. I'm in, I'm yours. Your love's too good to leave me. And I know don't deserve this kind of love. Somehow, this kind of love is who you are. It's a grace I could never add to be somebody you still want. Somehow, you love me as you find me. Do you believe it, church? Believe that. loves you just the way you are. Feel comfortable, just lift your hands towards heaven. Just sing out these words. And if you truly mean it, just declare them. Just sing them up towards heaven.
Sing, if you want my heart. If you want my heart, I won't second guess. Cause I need your love more than anything.